You want to dig in a little bit? Yeah. You ready to do a little mining? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, the good news is we don't really have to expend the effort to dig the hole. All we got to do is just step into it. God's already dug it for us. That's the good news. That's the grace of God. So, Father, we're thanking you. We're grateful today that we can lean on you. We can trust in you. We're grateful that we can know and depend and count on your mercy. We can count on it, your loving kindness. We can count on it. And we can know, Jesus, you have accomplished everything we're ever going to need for life and godliness. And you've already done that for us. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I pray that. I'm not praying for just you. I'm praying for me too. You know, I need this as much as you do. It's amazing how, like last week, we were talking about the different types of soil of our heart. And what to do about it, and how to be a good God farmer, how to know how to plant those seeds, and how to know how to, you know, weed your garden, because religion tells us to do it a totally different way. And, you know, I needed to be reminded of that. And it's amazing after last Sunday how my actions changed as a result of that word, and how I had triple the amount of meditation time in the word last week as a result of what God said. Now, you don't realize it, because I don't usually tell you, but sometimes, you know, when I'm up here, things come out of me that I didn't think about. And I'm like, on the inside, I'm going, whoa, God, that's amazing. That's amazing. Man, I want that planted. You know, every time we open our mouth, we're spitting out seeds. Every time we speak, we are spitting out seeds. And we are releasing seeds. What are we releasing seeds to? Huh? We're releasing seeds. We need to release seeds to the kingdom of heaven. We need to release seeds to the truth of God's word. We need to release seeds that will change people's lives. Not release seeds that will discourage people and get them despondent and get them thinking, oh, you holy roller. You know, we don't want, you know, we want to release seeds that will change people's lives. And it comes from the word. Wow. I think I'm going to share with you this one scripture I meditated on all week long while I was working. You know, how many of you have jobs? Yeah. The rest of you, you are so blessed. Oh, yeah. You know, I had to learn, and I am still learning, the importance of holding his word in my heart throughout the day. Holding his word in my heart throughout the day, that I may meditate on it while I work, while I go through the day. And if I get into something that doesn't require extreme mental activity, I've done so many times that I can just do it, then I can have a little heavier meditation on that word while I'm doing those things. People that work in factories, oh my gosh. I mean, what a great opportunity. There's so many jobs that you could have. You have tremendous opportunity to be able to just hang out. The word, Colossians says, dwell. Let his word dwell richly within you. I love that. Let his word dwell richly within you. Whoa, let it take over. Let it consume you. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen instantly. I can't wave my hand over you, and all of a sudden, his word is just going to dwell richly within you. His word's not going to abide in you because I prayed for you. And you may get stoked. You may get knocked to the floor. You may be knocked unconscious for a while. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's going to be all that's going to happen is the motivation for you to start going in the right direction. But you still have to go. You still have to choose to go in the right direction. Amen? So I'm going to share with you, I'm going to build on what I talked about last week. And I want to share with you just a simple principle how my life has been affected and is still being affected by this condition of our heart thing. You know, I used to think that if someone has a hard heart, they got to be a lost person, right? I never thought that a Christian could have a hard heart. But we can. And the Holy Spirit showed me how many areas of my life, one after another, that my heart was hardened to the truth, hardened to the reality of His kingdom and His world. Let me ask you a question. Is it more easier? That's probably not good English. Is it easier for you to believe when you see someone that's sick? Is it easier for you to believe for them sick? Or is it easier for you to believe, well, I don't know how they're going to handle that. I don't know if my prayers are going to help them. I don't really know. What's the easiest thing to happen to you? What's the first response for you when you find out you don't have any money to pay your bills? What's the first response? Is it easier for you to believe God's already got you? He's got you covered. His provision's already been released. All that you need financially is already hanging in the spiritual realm waiting for you to receive it and draw it in. Or is your initial response to believe, I don't know how I'm going to pull out of this. Okay, I'm going to have to just work really hard and do all these things. Well, it's good to work hard. Okay, but is that the way you think? What's our first response? How do we think about these things when they come? The crisis is in our life. What's our first response? Is it God's got you? His mercy endures forever. His loving kindness is right here, right now. That His grace is sufficient for you. That His anointing that dwells within you is strong enough, powerful enough to move this thing out of the way as you speak it and believe it. What's our first response? Or is it, well, I don't know. You know, how we're going to handle these waters off the coast here. You know, what are we going to do? Let's see if we can petition the government or do something like that to bring some change. What is your first response? Go in the name of Jesus. You know, all of heaven is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. All of heaven is waiting for someone to stand up. We don't need 50 people. We don't need 1,000 people. We don't need to get together 1 million people to pray together. We need one believing believer who will stand and not move off of it. That's all. God's never needed a lot of people. He's never needed. You read the book. You'll find, what did he do with Gideon? What did he do with the army? What, he started with 22,000? I mean, what did he end up with? 300. And God says, okay, now I can do something with these 300 because they're focused. The last wipeout, the last cutting off the squad came when he says, okay, go ahead and take a drink of the water. And those who put their head down to drink the water, he said, you're cut. Those who drank like this, because they kept their focus. He says, you're on the team. You, I know, will believe. You, I know, will I can use. I mean, what's our first response? That's how you can tell, and how the Holy Spirit's training me to be able to tell when my heart is hardened in some area. You know, I'm in the construction business, and we get bad news all the time. We get negative news all the time. We get people telling us, oh, this went wrong, that went wrong. Trusses fell down. Some trusses fall down, actually. About half the trusses on a house fell down, last month? What's the first response? Nobody hurt. No, nobody hurt. Praise God. Nobody's going to get hurt either, because we stand believing that everyone that steps on one of our job sites, they are protected in the name of Jesus. That there are angels assigned to this construction company who are guarding over the word to make sure that it gets performed on our job sites. We believe that. We believe that. So we're not even going to question if somebody's going to get hurt. What about the rest of it? Well, it all got fixed, all got covered. Now, what if my first thought was, we're short on money this week. How are we going to manage to get all this done? Okay, what would I do? Is that the first response of a son of God? Is that the first response of someone who's trusting in, whose heart is soft, and the word is alive inside of them? The word that Jesus said, you know, nothing by any means is going to harm you. You don't need to worry about nothing. Do not worry! Do not worry! Do not fear. 365 times in the book, it says, do not fear. What the heck? 365 times. When I saw that, I said, okay, That means every day we need to stop and think. I have no reason. I have no reason to fear. So those are going to listen to this tape overseas. They're going to go, what? I have no reason to fear in Jesus' name. So I want to give you a simple principle, and I don't want to go past that because we have food. I always tell people, you put your roast in the oven before you come to church. Yeah, you better make sure it's a long cook roast. or you're going to end up having to leave, going to end up having to miss something. You know, I don't want to miss nothing. How about you? All right. So what I want to do is I want to look at with you the cause. The cause. We talked about a hard heart, and Jesus said, "You don't perceive. You don't have ears to hear. You don't have eyes to see." Okay. It's like you go to church and you hear a message and you say and you say, "Wow, that was awesome. Thank you so much for that word." You go out to eat after church, and you're sitting with someone, and they say to you, "What was the message today?" I can't remember. Okay, you can't remember. Jesus is saying the condition of your heart is hard. If you can't remember the word of God, you should be able to suck it up and please grab a hold of you and know your life is being changed. I was amazed when I was a young disciple. I'm still a young disciple of Jesus, meeting together with other people. We were studying the Word together for a number of years, and there was this guy that was 95 years old, and every week we were memorizing 5 to 10 scriptures. Every week together, all of us were memorizing 5 to 10 scriptures, and this guy's 95 years old in there, and some of the younger people saying, "This is too much for me. I can't memorize this. I can't trouble with one scripture memorizing it." And this old guy, 95 years old, he spouts them all off. And so I said to him, "How is it that this is not hard for you?" He said, "Because my heart is soft." I didn't know what he was talking about then. He said, "My heart's not hardened. I do not let the distractions of the world and the things other than the focus on Jesus Christ get me off of that word being planted within me. I don't let it happen." So he says, "It's easy for me to remember. My mind is clear." 95 years old. And I didn't know. You know, I just thought, wow, that's amazing. And I thought, he just had a photographic memory. And I said to him, "You have a photographic memory?" He says, "Heck no. You would not. I forget my wife's name sometimes." You ever forget your wife's name? Or forget your husband's name? No. No. But I can tell you this. You can become so focused on the things of heaven, so fixed on the things of God, that other things you don't remember that well. But the things of God, boom, they're right there. And they're right where they need to be. You can do it. Okay? Not by your power, not by your strength. I mean, don't. Because what I'm going to tell you now, you know, you could have a tendency to go one way or the other. You could take it as, okay, something I got to do and put yourself under the law, or something that the Spirit of God is living within me and he will perform this through me. That's grace. That's grace. Okay, so you got to take everything that I say in the atmosphere, in the condition, in the seedbed of grace. Knowing that it's not by your strength. It'll never be by your strength. If you try it by your strength, you're going to fail. But it's by the grace of God. It really is. So where are we going? We're going to Mark. Hello, Mark. Are you there? Thank you. All right. And I'm temporarily taking my gum out. Okay? So I don't spit it on anybody. Oh, you already have the anointing, but you're not going to get the spit. In Jesus' name. Bring me an umbrella. There's one word. Harvey, I want you to put this up in the King James, because that says it the best, I believe. How many of you, when you study the word, you look at different versions? You look at different versions. Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. I my favorite is the New King James, and the Amplified, and the King James, and then I'll use other ones. There's so many. I have on my computer, I have 25 versions of the Bible. And I can pull a word up, and it can show me what that word is in all the different versions. And sometimes I use that when I'm studying. Study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. A workman who's not ashamed. A workman for God who's not ashamed. Study to show yourself approved. Don't just come and listen to somebody and then think that's going to be good for you for the week. It's no, you know, all I'm doing is I'm priming the pump. I'm just priming the pump. Okay, you need to make sure that thing keeps flowing. You know, right now, Mark, I didn't tell you which verse today. No. Okay, we're gonna go to the end of the story. Where after he fed the 5,000, and then he told the disciples to get in the boat to go to the other side, and we're going to look at verse 52, the end of that whole account. Mark 6, 52. Mark 6. Come on! It's coming. Hallelujah. It says in verse 51, then he went up into, I'm going to read 51, and won't go to 52. Then he went up into the boat, Jesus went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. You know, the same account is in John chapter 6 and in Matthew 14. It's good when you're reading an account to read all three accounts during all three Gospels, because you get the full picture that way. There's things that you might miss. For instance, let me just share one thing with you that's really cool. You look over at John chapter 6, verse 21. Sorry, Harvey. John 6, 21. I don't know how many of you have ever caught this. I like the jaw droppers. John 6:21. Okay, same account. It says, then they willingly received him into the boat. What does that say? And immediately the ship was at the land. Did you see that? They got transported. And Jesus got in a boat, and immediately the boat and all the disciples and Jesus, they showed up on the land. Immediately. They got transported. Because Jesus, he thought supernatural. Jesus' thinking was kingdom. Jesus' thinking was as it is in heaven. The disciples' thinking was as it is on earth. I need an industrial grade one of these things. Oh, okay. Disciples thinking, like so much of our thinking, is as it is on earth, as it is the way I see it, as it is the way I feel it, as it is the way I was trained to think about things. That's how the disciples were thinking. But Jesus' thinking is totally different. It's how is it in heaven? What's it like in the spiritual realm? What's it like in heaven right now? Okay, the reality of his world is what he's going to release. And that's what he's attempting to train these disciples that. So it doesn't say anything about what the disciples were shocked that Jesus was walking on the water, shocked that he showed up in the boat. But can you imagine the shock of when he got in the boat and they're still a long ways from shore, and that fast they're at the shore? Like, heck just happened? Amazing. And Jesus was continually telling them, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. What? What? Are you? Are you? Is that better? Do I have to repeat that? I just rewinded the tape. Where did it fall out? Immediate. Okay. John, the same account in John 6:21 says that they were, you know, Jesus got in a boat, they were immediately on the other side. They were transported. How many of you have ever been transported? You got transported somewhere? Yeah, isn't that cool? It's happened to me 3 times. Okay, maybe more than I'm just not, my conscious awareness is not aware of it. But 3 times that I know of, I was clearly transported from one place to another place instantly. It is so cool. I mean, and you have to have spiritual thinking, okay? If you don't believe God will do something, then you're probably not going to see it. If you believe God has done it because it happened in the book, it's all for you, okay? Everything that Jesus did, everything that he did, okay, is all for you. And if you believe that, then and you receive it, then you could have a suddenly or a couple suddenlies or a few suddenlies. There, you just had the problem with you talking while we're recording this is the people listening to this don't have any idea what's being said. So I'm just going to share now what you just said. You were going somewhere and headed somewhere, and you just all of a sudden going to work. What is the spirit world? Oh man, that's a heck of a way to see it, huh? It does smell good. Praise God. Let the joy of the Lord fill you. The joy of the Lord is his strength. It's his strength. Go back to Mark 6. 51 or 52. And Jesus went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. The disciples were like in shock. They were in shock. And because Jesus was walking on top of the water. And he says in verse 52, this is important. This is the point that I want to make. For they considered not the miracle of loaves, for their heart was hardened. For they didn't consider what had just happened. They didn't consider that this Jesus, who was the Lord and Master, who's been teaching them, had just performed miracle of feeding 15,000 roughly people, okay, with 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish? Or was it the other way around? It was one of those. it wasn't 5 loaves, because I remember thinking that it was not enough to feed a big man, one big man. And he fed 15,000 roughly people, and they all got seconds and thirds, and there was more remains afterwards of food than they started with. So, it says, for they considered not. Here's a definition. You might want to write this down, okay? I wrote it in my Bible. The word consider and what it means. For they did not consider. Here's what consider means. It means to study, to ponder, to deliberate, to examine, to meditate on. To focus on, to become occupied with. Let me read it again in case you didn't get it at all. Oh, to consider what it means is to study, to ponder, to deliberate, to examine, to meditate on, to focus on, and to be occupied with. I know people that are occupied with sports. They're focused on sports, and they can tell you the names and the stats and the details of all these players for the sports teams, but they can't tell you what one single scripture says, and they fill the pews in churches. What's happening? Those Christians have a hardened heart. That's what will come as a result of our focus being on all these. And would you agree that in today's world, there's tons of things you could focus on? Tons of things you could be occupied with? I mean, they're everywhere. The multimedia age, where there's all these things that are available to come at you and give you opportunity to focus on anything but God and His Word. And He says, for they considered not the loaves. They didn't remember what He did. They should have said, hey guys, did you see what just happened? Jesus the Christ, Jesus, this Jesus that is with us, He just fed with His supernatural power as He's trusting in the Father to show us. He just fed all these people with a tiny bit of food. If He can do that, certainly this storm that we are in would be nothing for Him to take care of. See, that would be the way to think if your focus is on kingdom and on Him. Their focus was still very natural. They were not supernatural yet. They were still very natural men seeing these things and marveling at what God was doing. You know, we should come to the place where we are not shocked by miracles. We should come to the place where we're not shocked by amazing things that God does. Not shocked anymore, but completely expect it. See, that's the mind of Christ, where we expect these things to happen. If we're shocked, I mean, I go to these countries, and we got, oh, and we're talking church leaders are packing out buildings, and we start in demonstration, and we begin to show them miracles. Blind eyes are opening, the miracles are happening, and they're like, ah! They're in shock. You know why? Because their hearts are hardened. As believers, even as teachers and leaders in the church and the body of Jesus Christ, their hearts are still hardened. I know, because mine has been hardened in so many areas, and the Spirit of God had to reveal it to me, and I had to humble myself and say, I agree with you. That's not who I am. I am not someone who's going to have a hard heart. I am a son of God who's got a soft heart, and I'm filled with the Word of God. I had to do that again and again, and I'm still doing it. We have to. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and following says, guard your heart, for out of it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Stand over it. Don't allow, you know, it doesn't, I don't know how much of this I'm going to get through. It doesn't matter what kind of relationships you have, whether you know all the scriptures, and whether you're practicing the things you should be practicing, whether you're praying as much as you should, or whether you know you do all the disciplines that people say you need to do. As far as God's relationship with you and you being His daughter and you being His son and Him loving you is not affected by what you do or what you don't do. It is not. Religion will tell you, you do wrong, God's going to back up. God's going to be a wall put between you. No, that's old covenant. There is no more wall. Jesus broke down the wall. He removed the veil. The veil was rent. You have open access to relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter whether you're having the worst day of your life or you're having the best day of your life, the access has been made, the way has been made, and it will never be closed. Do you understand that there are rivers of God's grace pouring out? It's one wave after another wave after another wave, and we just receive it. We do not have to perform to get it.
We do not have to be that good studious child to get the reward, to get the blessing, to get the favor of God. He granted it. He said, now I give you my favor. Now I declare it to the spiritual realm. You're my son. He sees you as a spirit woman. He sees you as a spirit man. He sees you filled with Jesus. That's how the Father looks at you. We must never forget that. But wrong relationships will affect your heart. Not being in the Word will affect your heart. You understand? What we mostly get out there in Christendom is we're hammered with what we're not, what we're doing wrong, what we have to do. We're hammered with sin and how bad it is, and we better get it out of our life. And we're not given the truth, which is first the accomplishment of Jesus Christ and who He made you to be. I'm giving it to you. And I do not want you to take any word that comes out of here in a way that's going to make you, if you begin to feel like you're under condemnation, you begin to feel like, you know, you begin to feel guilty for something you haven't done, or you haven't accomplished or done it right yet, that's not coming from God. Jesus took all the condemnation. He took all the guilt. He took all the pain. He took it all for you. So when I share things like this about having a hard heart, okay, the enemy would want to, you know, between my mouth and your ears, there's space, there's air. The prince of the power of the air is Satan, and he will try to grab those words as they come and twist them before they hit your ears. You got to know, you've got to be settled on the fact that God is good. All the time, all the time. His plans for you are beyond what you could even begin to imagine. They're so good. He cannot change. God cannot change. He's never going to have a day that he wakes up. He doesn't go to sleep. He's never going to have a day where he thinks, okay, my son, he missed it again. I'm going to have to blockade him. No, he will never think that. Never, never, never. But if we don't guard our heart, responsibility is with us to guard our heart, not to perform it, not to make it happen, not to bring the power. All that belongs to God. Our part is to believe who we are and to realize when the Holy Spirit reveals to you, there's some areas, and he spoke to me many times. Son, your heart's hardened in this area. Yes, I've asked him, why didn't this happen? Why didn't this happen? I know it's not your will for this to happen. Why didn't this happen? I thought I was believing. And this is going to be for another message, another time. But you've probably heard this. That if you're not in faith, you're in unbelief. That's not true. And I'm going to explain to you. I wrestled with this a long time, with why I know I'm in faith and I'm not seeing this thing happen in front of me. I know I'm in faith and I'm not seeing this move. And God showed me, he revealed to me what the truth is. And that's another message, another time. You'll get it. You'll get it out of me. Don't worry. The Spirit of God will squeeze it right out. You know, how do you tell what kind of fruit that something is? You put it under pressure and squeeze it. Right. So I love God to squeeze me. Man, you're probably thinking, you're probably thinking this guy's whacked, right? I mean, you. Yeah, we've had people come here and they think, whew, this guy's over the top. But you know what? I believe that I'm just coming in the normal. I don't believe I'm over the top. I believe I'm just coming into God-style normal. It's like you singing this morning. I am happy for God! You know what? It don't matter what anybody thinks. I'm telling you, your Heavenly Father thinks, she's my daughter. This is my daughter. Probably call the angels around. Come on, come on. Look at this. This is my daughter. Look at her. Look at her. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the truth. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Where was I? The cause of a hard heart is that we are considering wrong things. We're not considering God. We're not considering the kingdom. We're not considering who He made you to be. We're not meditating on that. We're not dwelling on that. We're not studying that truth. We're not rehearsing that truth within us. And we talked about how, you know, farming and how I mean, if you don't put seeds out, you're not going to get nothing. But if you put bad seeds out, you get nothing. Good seeds out, you get good fruit. But you got to put the seed out. You got to believe. Plant. I know, let's just look at this. Hebrews chapter 3. This is where the majority of the church is. You say, how can you say that? How do you know the majority of where the church is? I say, well, it's like this. I have been able to minister to about every denomination there is in the world and the leaders of those denominations. I've been able to listen to the hearts of men and women who lead the body of Christ in third and fourth world nations with our desperateness and a hunger for God far out surpasses what we see in America. And I think I'm getting a pretty good picture of the condition of the church based upon what we're seeing around the world. So that's how I, when I make statements like that, that's how I make it. And, you know, and I'm listening to these men and women of God when they're getting free on the truth because they're believing the truth and they're making it their life. They're not just sticking it in their head and letting it become dead letter, but they're believing it. Where was that going? Hebrews chapter 3. Look at this. Because you know, I don't want to really address this part of it today because there's been so much teaching and preaching about sin and the effect of it in people's lives. I don't need to go through all that. You know. And I got really kind of sick of it in church before God called me to go. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice. Okay, where does he put the responsibility? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Where does he put the responsibility for your heart? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Where does he put the responsibility for what happens to our heart? It's on us. It's on us, each of us individually. We can't do it for somebody else. We do it for ourselves. Today, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Go down to verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. He equates a hard heart with unbelief. So if your heart is hardened, there's going to be unbelief there. Wow. That hit me like a ton of bricks when he showed me that. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was so thankful. You know, I'm thankful when Holy Spirit corrects me, when Holy Spirit brings godly reproof from his standpoint of the way he sees it in my life. Because, you know, I had a lot of stinking thinking. I know you guys probably didn't have any. I was raised in a household where he punch you, you punch him back, knock his block off. But what if he's bigger than me? Then I'm not going to tell you what I was taught to do. But there are ways to get a big person down if you're a little person. Okay.
You know, I was taught to do that kind of stuff. And taught to get even. And taught to, you know, okay, they mess with you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Jesus talked about that. I was taught that. Then I go into a religious system that teaches me that I'm really messed up and I really have, you know, lots of sin, and I got to confess that to somebody in a box every week. And it was insane, you know, that the thoughts that I had and the attitudes that I developed from all of that. And then I got into a nice people, but a very religious church. That hammered over and over again about, you know, what sinners we were. When you got born again, you're no longer a sinner. You're a sinner before you get born again. That's your nature. But your nature now, your spirit, man, is not the nature of a sinner. It's not anymore. You are not. And, you know, I didn't know what was wrong, but for the longest time, I just felt so unsettled listening to this and feeling like, you know, I'm never going to be able, there's no way in my life I could ever pull this stuff off. I just got really sick of listening to it, and I didn't even understand why, but it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit in me. It says, verse 13, but exhort, okay, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another. It's not departing like you're never going to come back again, or you know, you're never going to hear from him or see anything again. No, wherever there's a hard heart or unbelief, whatever area of your life that is, it's just as if God doesn't have access to that area. He'll have access to whatever you give him. He's already made the way. Amen. It's just for us to notice. What's the condition? What's the signs of a hard heart? Okay, when we recognize what those are, then we begin to move in the opposite direction. It says, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, sin, the fact is, sin will put layers of callousness over your heart. That's what sin will do. You know, I don't think we need to preach about that. I don't think we need to hammer people with that. I think everybody knows it. Everybody knows there's nothing good comes out of sin, right? Okay. Now, some people think, okay, well, I'm under grace now. All my sins are forgiven, so I can pretty much do whatever I want. I say, for someone that tells me that, I say, you really believe you can do whatever you want? Yeah, I do. Then you need to go get born again. Because when you are born again, your spirit now does not want to sin anymore. Your spirit hates sin. Your spirit wrestles with that and is really unsettled with the fact that there's something in your life that is sin. You can't just go through life like, oh, everything's fine. I'm going to sin all I want. No, you cannot. Not if you're born again. You cannot. Go back in the, I think it was the 50s and 60s in America, where there were people going around with tent crusades, tent revivals. And it was all these preachers that were, you read about some of the things they said. They said they felt like 95% of the people in churches were not born again. That was their opinion in America. 95% of the people in churches were not born again because they hear the truth again and again, and they just keep doing wrong stuff. But I say, you could be born again, and you could have a hard heart and not able to function. So if we can settle this hard heart thing, you're good. I mean, you're just going to see such an outpouring, such a release of God like you could never ever imagine. So where was I? So, but for the disciples, okay, the sin wasn't their issue. Jesus said you have a hard heart. It wasn't because they were sinning. Sin had nothing to do with it. What was it? What was it? The big thing is it's not just sin that brings a hardened heart, but it's everyday life. Oh, that was a rough one for me to see. Anything that occupies your attention in a greater degree than your relationship with the one who created you and who loves you and has a plan for your life will harden your heart. You hear what I said? Anything that occupies your attention and your time and your focus to a greater measure than your relationship with the one who knows you and has your life in his hands and has the plan for your life will harden your heart. So what's the problem with, what was the problem with these dudes? Go back to verse 45, Mark 6:45. It says, Mark 6:45. Immediately, the New King James says, immediately he made his disciples. You know, if we don't read this slow sometimes, we miss some of these words. It says, Mark 6:45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Immediately he made them. Immediately. Oh, that's the New King James. Can you put it up in the King James? Am I asking you, is that hard to do that? No. As Harvey says, nothing's ever a problem with Harvey. Sometimes he looks at me funny and just does it. Okay, that's immediately he made. Okay, that's the New King James. Can you give me the King James? All right. So I ask the question, why did Jesus make them? In the King James, it says constrained. Immediately he constrained them. He told them, you are going in the boat to the other side. It was imperative. It has the meaning of Jesus is telling them, you are going to do this. You're going to go to the other side. And straightway, he constrained his disciples. That word constrained really, really, really hits it. He insisted strongly. He urged them, you've got to get in the boat and go to the other side. Why did he do that? They should have been at the place after seeing all that he had done where they said, it's not a problem, but these are fishermen. Now, I've been with fishermen on Lake Victoria, both on the Uganda side, both on the Kenya side. These fishermen, they have this sense. They are able to tell the barometric pressure. They are able to smell the humidity in the air and know the level. See, the lake is, there's mountains all around, and a storm is coming. It rolls over that mountain, and it could sink a boat like nothing on Lake Victoria. So these fishermen here, same situation. They had to be sensing, we got a bad storm brewing. We know it. We've seen it again and again. We know the conditions. We do not want to go to the other side. That's why Jesus had to constrain them. That's why Jesus had to urge them and say, you will get in the boat and you will go to the other side. This is the creator of the universe telling them, you will go to the other side. Now, if they had understood the miracles, they would have said, hey guys, Jesus said we're going to the other side. We see a bad storm brewing. It's probably going to be like a hurricane. Big deal. He said we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. See, that's why Jesus is correcting them. He's saying, how long do I have to be with you? Have I not told you? What have you not seen? What don't you understand? Why don't you remember? You've seen me do it again and again. Do you know what's going on here? Why are you so natural? Why are you not thinking spiritual? Why are you not thinking supernatural? I am supernatural, and I want you to do the same thing. The works that I do, man, you too will do the same works. Come on, open your eyes and see. And he's saying that to us today. He's saying it to us today. Open your eyes. Awaken unto righteousness. Awaken to the truth that you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Awaken to the truth that the Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. Awaken to that truth. Let nothing move you. Let nothing stop you. I don't care how things look. It doesn't matter.
It's what have I said? What have I declared? What have I told you I will do? I said you'll go to the other side. You will go to the other side. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory to God. Here's a scripture that I was meditating on all week. Colossians. You might want to try this one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there, buddy? Usually he beats me. Okay. If then, okay, now who's he talking to? If then you were raised with Christ. Were you raised with Christ? Who was raised with Christ? Your new spirit man, right? Is that all of you in here? You were all raised with Christ, which means what? You're seated with him, right? If then you were raised with Christ, you know, he's saying, if this is true, your thinking should be a lot different. If this is true, then you should be walking in the supernatural and not walking in the natural. If this is true, you should be seeing amazing things happen in your life. If this is true. He says, if then you were raised with Christ. Well, we know we were raised with Christ, right? 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 Okay, do we really know? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now watch this verse too. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. All week long, I'm meditating on this. Set your mind. What does it mean, set mean? Fix it. Don't let it be moved. On things above, on as it is in heaven. Set your mind on just how it is in heaven. You know what happens? I probably got 3-4 hours into meditating on this during the week and while I'm working. And I began to see myself in heaven. I began to see myself seated with Jesus Christ. I began to see myself there and here, both places, seated with him, far above all principality, power, and rule, seated with him, having dominion over every evil spirit and everything that could ever come to harm me, seated with him, having power and authority in his name over anything that would hinder his kingdom moving forth, over anything that would stop or slow down the life of Jesus flooding through me, over anything that would stop me being completely healthy. I want you to notice I lost the 5 pounds in 1 week. I didn't go on a diet. I just stopped eating so much. Yeah. Praise God. But what did I do? I began to declare, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to be. And health and healing is flowing through me. And I do not feel comfortable carrying this 5 pounds, and I'm not going to, in Jesus' name. I didn't go on a diet. I just didn't pig out like I did the week before. I only ate one donut instead of a dozen. If that, yeah, and I did that in 1.5 days. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of Father. Seek what? We spend so much of our time seeking all kinds of things on the earth. Don't we? Oh, man. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your mind on things above. Let your thinking be captivated by the things of heaven, by the things of Jesus, by the things of our Heavenly Father. Not on things on the earth. No, don't get confused and think, oh, how am I supposed to work?
How am I supposed to work if I...
No, no. We get back to the Word dwelling within you. I've noticed also something else happening that I don't get as many of those momentary agitations. You know what I'm talking about? You know, where somebody does something or somebody messes something up or something bad happens and out of my mouth comes jerk. You know, and it's like, God created everyone and He loves everyone. For me to think of someone as a jerk, that's a hard heart. There's something. Now they may be acting like a jerk. Okay, they may be acting like a jerk, but I have to think about them and look at them the way God sees them, as someone He made and created and has a wonderful plan for and wants to love them and show them who He really is. And sometimes, you know, we may be the only book they ever read. We may be the only chance they get to see this real Jesus. You know, and I'm telling you, if you're thinking jerk, when you're around them, they're going to feel you think jerk. It's true. You may not say it, but what you're feeling about someone, they're going to feel that when they're with you. And if you're feeling like you love them with the love of Jesus Christ, they're going to pick up on that, and you're going to see some people coming to Jesus. Well, you can try that one. That nailed me pretty good. And okay, all right, that's true. We meet a lot of people with walls up and gates closed. That's okay. Let what's coming out of your mouth be God's seeds. Let what's coming out of your mouth be encouragement to them. Let what's coming out of your mouth be the way God sees them. A long time ago, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, you know what, there's a lot of people messed up, including me, and I'm a little less messed up than I used to be, but by your grace, you know, I'm doing much better. I want, and I'm asking for you to give me the same eyes to see that Jesus has. I want to be able to see the gold that's in people. I don't care how much they've messed up, how bad shape they're in. I want to see the gold in them. I want to see your handiwork, Lord. And I want to begin to reveal to them through prophetic word, through however you show me. It may just be a hug of love. I don't care. But I want to begin to reveal to them who the real Jesus is and who they are to you. You ask Him that. You believe that. I'm telling you, it will change the way you think and change the way you speak. But let me say this, okay? This whole thing about us going from a hardened heart to a heart that's soft, we're it's good soil, and we can see lots of fruit, it does not happen overnight. We need to, the way to get the weeds out of, I told you last week, the way to get the weeds out of your field is not to go out and stress yourself out by trying to pull all the weeds out. The way to get the weeds out of your field is to plant more good seed. And the good seed will take root and choke the weeds out. That's the way to do it. Just get it in. Get the word in. Get the word in. Get the word in. And watch your life change. It's true. It's true. I tell people, I say, you need deliverance. You got demons going on. You're messing with you. Okay. You got sickness in your body. I can remove that. I can get it off of you because I'm confident that Jesus has already seen it, already handled it, already taken it upon Himself, and I can pray in His name, and this will be removed for now. But then you can go out, and because your heart's still hardened, begin to get yourself right back in the same position again. And then the devil comes and says, you see, it didn't work. You see, it didn't work. If it didn't work, nothing would have happened. There would have been no healing. There would have been no deliverance. There would have been no freedom. There would have been no breath of fresh air. But the fact that there is, and that's why it's so important to understand this and how these things happen, and so that we can work together with the Holy Spirit to be to be that son of God, to be that daughter of God that brings forth his life everywhere we go. I know every one of you, you've had people that you've prayed for, and you really believed in your heart that God was going to do something, and nothing happened. Is that not true? You've all had that. Now, I'm not the only one, right? You've all had that, right? Unless maybe you've never prayed for anybody. And you wouldn't be here if that was the case. But I'm telling you, and that's for the other message. That's for the other message. God's heart is for you to be free. John 8:32 says what? Jesus said what? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's the difficulty. We take that. Okay, suppose I show you 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, by his stripes you were healed. You got sickness in your body. By his stripes you were healed. You hear that word, say, I'm going to confess that till I'm blue in the face. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep standing on it. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. You're going to keep standing on that. Okay, now, if you do that and you remember that word, and if I are to ask you a year later, you remember 1 Peter 2:24? Yep, by his stripes I was healed. Okay, are you healed? No. What is one reason why that doesn't happen? I'm going to tell you, based upon what I'm sharing with you today, you may spend 5-10 seconds a week thinking about that scripture, meditating on that scripture, maybe a month. But you spend 1,000 minutes a week listening to the input from other people, listening to the input from TV and the world and what doctors have to say, and getting all this input from everywhere else. 1,000 minutes listening to that. Unbelief. And you spend 10 seconds meditating on, examining, studying the truth of what Jesus says. That's why. You see? That's what he showed me. He showed me, you listen to all these people and their counsel and their opinions and all this, way more than you even listen to my word. And that's why you still struggle in these areas. Wow. I'm not telling you what you need to do. I'm telling you what I've seen and what has worked for me. God made us in such a way that we are able to choose what we focus on. God made us, each of us, in a way that you have freedom to choose what you are going to focus on. We can't just say, well, the devil made me do it. No, we all have freedom to choose what we're going to focus on. And I'm just telling you, if your focus begins to change, it may take, for me, I would say, we're talking years. Years of continually changing focus, to where become more sensitized to the things of heaven than I am to the things of the earth. That's what we need, to become sensitized, our heart, make our heart sensitized to what's reality in the world, to what's reality in heaven, more so than sensitized to what's reality in the world. And this happens just the way we're talking about, okay? As we focus, as we set our heart, set our mind on things above, as we do that day after day after day after day, okay? In the beginning, it's hard because we've got so much stuff to overcome, okay? The Spirit of God will do all the overcoming. You tell him. That's how I began to build a relationship with Holy Spirit, was I was talking to him all the time. I can't overcome this. There's no way I can do this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I need you. Thank you for releasing life and strength right now to take me through this. I mean, again and again and again, a zillion times. He's the one with the power. And he has it, and he will release it. But John 8:32, it's talking, you shall know the truth. This word know, okay? It's not mental assent. It's not just mentally knowing in my head what the scripture says. That's not what he's talking about. You study out that word, you shall know. That's experiential knowledge. Experiential heart knowledge. your heart now knows through experience, because you fed it the truth. It now knows this is who you are. This is the truth, and you don't have to move off that truth. That's what Jesus is talking about. You shall know the truth. It's not just you can quote scripture. It's not just you can remember a scripture. No, you know the scripture. It's now heart knowledge within you. Don't get all bogged down that, you know, this. Yeah, somebody here right now is thinking, I ain't never going to be able to do this. This is just too much. No, it'll always be too much for you. But it's not too much for the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not about what we do. It's about what we trust Him to do in us and through us. I'm telling you, that's the Christian life. It's just trusting Him. We find out what we need. We find out we got our heart hardened in some area, and we trust Him to begin to cause us, to bring to our attention when we're not focusing in the right direction, and to help us do that. And He will. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
You are. Okay. So for these guys, it wasn't sinful. It wasn't sinful. They were just using their natural skills. They're out there, and a hurricane comes, and they're turning the boat to point in the direction of the waves, the bow to point in the direction of the waves, and because they knew to do that, they knew how to trim the sails, they knew how to bail the boat out. You know, they were doing everything that their skills had taught them to do. And I'm not saying for us to be supernatural, we forget about the natural. I'm not saying we don't need natural skills. We need natural skills, but we need to be able to step into the supernatural in any given moment. I'm telling you, your natural skills will only take you so far, and you're going to be presented with case after case after case where your natural skills is not enough. How many times have we come to the place where we said, now what do I do? Because you've extended the full extent of your natural ability, your skills, your training, you don't know what to do, right? Now's when you need to be able to step into the supernatural. We all need to be able to do that. Okay, suppose I was to ask one of you to drive me to the airport. Okay, would I be saying I don't care about your driving skills? No. Well, am I saying, hey, you need to be supernatural, you need to be spiritual, and then and am I saying you need to close your eyes and say, I'm going to drive by faith. I'm going to drive by faith. No! I want you to use your natural driving skills. But when a truck pulls in front of us, I want you to be able that fast to shift into the supernatural realm, to shift into the realm where God is King and God is Lord, and Jesus has already dealt with anything that could ever hurt me. I want you to be able that fast, go into tongues that fast, be able to say, in the name of Jesus. I want you to be able to move into the spiritual realm just like that. That's not the time for you to be a naturally good driver, okay? That's the time for you to be a supernatural person. And we all have those things in our life. We don't put down the natural. We don't say it's not important. We all need to be skilled in all kinds of things in this life. But that's not where we rest. Because we will all be presented with things that our natural skill will not help us with. And when it does, we need to be ready to move. What's going to get us there? Get rid of the hardened heart. What's going to get rid of the hardened heart? Meditate on the Word. Plant good seeds. Plant good seeds. It's the best thing you can do to spend time. The best way you can spend your time. The busier I get, the more I have to do it. Amen. I'm leaving you with that today. Hallelujah. 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 So I got clams I got to go open. Praise God. Before we go, if anybody wants prayer, my hands are hot. They're normally freezing.
That may not mean anything.